Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 509-727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. Mr. John McKay, how you doing?
Well, I kept the lawn alive, and Tuesday and Wednesday, around the region, we broke 5 single-day temperature records.
Okay, that was no easy feat, keeping your lawn alive.
No.
Yeah, man, it has been a smoke show out there.
Yeah, Ellensburg, Hermiston, Pasco, Dallasport, Yakima, Hermiston tied a record set in 1926.
Yeah, yeah.
They hit 107 on Wednesday.
Yeah, we definitely, the mobile emergency AC units for property management were in effect.
Yes.
We were having to deliver those for some much needed relief for some breakdowns. So.
Yeah, we ended up taking a patio umbrella and we kind of jury-rigged it so it would over our heat pump.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
to provide shade.
Absolutely.
And that helped a lot.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that you can be doing in this heat for sure. People think I'm crazy. I kind of like it. I mean, I'm not fully outside in it all day, but man, it... I tell you what, those early mornings and late
really
evenings,
nice. Yeah.
Tri-Cities at its best.
But in between.
Yeah, in between. Thank you for all of our workers and support workers that had to be out in that heat for sure. Please stay cool. It's a little bit cooler, but not much coming up this next week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, John, it's a little cooler in the studio because we don't have... We don't have filming today.
Yeah.
I mean, this
is kind of weird.
This is AM radio only. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to worry about my hair.
Yeah.
Not that there's much left. but yeah, so our podcast video series, you know, even those guys need vacations every now and
then.
Yes. And so he is on vacation with his kids and family. And so John and I said, well, shoot, this is just old school.
Yeah.
Audio only. So here we go. We're gonna have a great time today. But I will say, speaking of the videos, it was so funny because last week's celebrity story, the America's Birthday House that was in Plimpton, YouTube video about that house got like the second highest views I've ever had because I think someone saw it in Massachusetts.
Oh,
and then
my.
Everybody started telling me that that was a real town. And then there you have it. I got all kinds of comments. So,
there you go.
So I appreciate everybody that tunes in to listen to our stuff and also subscribe to our YouTube channel. So when we are recording, you can see that. But this week's celebrity house of the week is actually two homes on 1 3-acre estate in Pasadena.
Okay.
This is the family is selling this home of the there was a collector. He was famous for collecting like Italian sports cars and European firearms.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Norman Blank. His house in Pasadena is up for sale, but it's very distinct. Both of these residences, one of them is a castle, basically, like a French castle. And then the other one is a mid-century modern.
Ooh.
So you go through this gate and you have like these two very distinctly different properties. And they're being sold together for $9 million. They are on separate tax parcels, though, so you could buy them separately. I think I would probably go personal preference towards the mid-century modern.
Mm-hmm.
But listen to this. Apparently, he built that and purchased. It was built in the 60s, but he purchased in the 90s when it came up for sale for $901,000, and that's now part of a $9 million package.
That's an unusual price, $901,000.
Yes, you never know quite when people negotiate, but I bet sometimes when there's a weird number like that, sometimes what happens is negotiations stall where one party kind of digs their heels in, and they said, I bet they said somebody made an offer lower than 900, maybe an insulting offer like 750. And somebody probably said, well, I'm not selling this for a, you know, or I'm not selling this for a penny under 900,000, or I'm not selling this unless it has a nine in front of it. I've heard people make statements like that. And so then somebody came in and they probably said, okay, well, if you want a nine in front of it, I'll give you 901.
It almost sounds like, do I hear 900? Yeah, do I hear nine? Almost like bidding.
Absolutely. And so I'll tell you what, too. One time, John, on a deal I had here locally, the client was adamant that they wouldn't spend a penny more than 500,000, but they wouldn't put a five in front of their bid.
Yeah.
And so they made me write it up for 499,099 cents, like when they present the offer, and it was accepted. And I got to tell you, escrow was never so mad at me, because it's not very normal in a transaction like that to go out to the cents. Mm-hmm. So all of their normal forms that they use to fill in are normally rounded to a whole dollar amount.
Oh.
So it messed up all of the forms. And then they had all these weird prorations. I got to tell you, I only made that mistake once, because you can do it, but there's no rule or law against it. But if you want your title and escrow officers to hate you, write offers that have that have sense.
Weird numbers.
So that is our crazy celebrity story of the week. But getting back to our local story for real estate, and here's what, folks, I got to tell you. These interest rates this last week were an absolute shocker in finally a good way.
Good.
The inflation numbers are coming in that they're down. The labor market is cooling. It's not as strong as it was.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting economic data that there's a few hiccups in some of the rest of the economy. But those hiccups in the rest of the economy are really good for interest rates on our side of the fence with property. And so we saw 30-year rates dipping below 6.5, getting down below that, which we haven't seen in approximately a year. So if people have been waiting to lock their rates, or they've been waiting to look, it looks like right now, and a few months ago, I wasn't sure how we would get there, but it seems like every time, pre-election cycle, we find some reasons to have some really good numbers come out and some reasons to get that Fed cut. And I just on the radio 2 months ago, we were talking with inflation numbers that we had that we thought that it was highly, highly likely that Fed cuts were off the table for the rest of the year, even with the election. But now, magically, I'm seeing articles, headlines all this week that they believe a Fed cut will still happen based upon these new numbers that have come in. And because of that, the market's already pricing that into those interest rates. So we had a lot of people that were either in new construction deals waiting for the house to be finished, or had not locked. There was a number of people that locked rates on this dip this week. And I got to tell you, buyers, if you've been sidelined because of rates, because they were too high at 7 and above, if you were close on your approval, talk to your lender, because we had a number of people get approved this week for more than they could have before, or just get approved when they couldn't. And like I said last week, the inventory numbers are increasing. So more to go look at for you. Better rates, lower payment. It's hot outside, but the real estate market is freaking hot because of this as well. So those are some big things that we've been talking about. On the real estate side, I always get excited because this time of year is when the Remodelers Association always releases their 2024 numbers for remodel costs, and then the amount that you recoup for doing certain things.
Okay.
So it's been interesting over the last 5 years as we've done this and talked about this on the show to look at, if you put X amount of dollars in something, what are you going to get back out of it?
Yeah.
And I get a lot of calls from people, and like as I was prepping the show, I thought about the calls that like make my heart sink. So Like, the call I don't want to get as an agent is that, hey, Lance, I bought a house 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and we put in a swimming pool, and we did a huge master bedroom remodel, and then now our job's transferred, and we're moving out of town.
Oh.
Because I know what these reports look like, mm-hmm. and we're going to talk about it. Like, those are terrible returns on yeah. things that you're going to put in. Like, for me, that's... like a terrible call to get because I feel awful. That person's going to lose a lot of money. They're not going to yes. recoup the cost that they put in. So the cost versus value report that comes out from the Remodeling Association is always fascinating to me. And what's interesting is as the market's gone up and the average price points have gone up, I love that they separate this throughout the country. And so the numbers we go over today are the Pacific District, basically covering most of the West Coast. And so, John, in the past, there's one item that normally blows everything else out of the water for return on investment.
Front door.
You've been listening all these years. Well, guess what's so crazy
about... shut the front door.
Guess what's so crazy about this year?
What?
The front door has been overtaken.
Oh.
It is no longer number one on the list. Mm. Now, I will tell you, it is a door, but it's not the front door.
Garage door.
Yeah, yeah, yes, sir. So that wasn't a thing that you and I talked about 5 or 6 years ago.
It didn't even make the list.
Yeah, and so it's really interesting to look at this. But when you, I don't know if it was all of the focus that was put on garage doors during COVID when you couldn't even get a garage door and houses were closed without them. But a garage door replacement, and it didn't beat it by much. I mean, these numbers are so close, but it did beat it. A garage door replacement on the West Coast, job cost running on average $4,500. Resale value that they're getting from sales cost, $11,417. We're talking $250 return on investment. So if you're an agent, you go out and a garage door is sideways and the kids were hockey players and so they shot pucks at it. It's got mm-hmm. holes all over it. These are the type of things that I see.
Yeah.
And having hockey player kids myself, I can remember the first day I saw this and those kids are lucky to be alive. At my own personal house, I've seen a garage door like this, ruined by hockey pucks. If somebody asks you, should I replace that garage door, or they're thinking about it, there's really almost nothing better you could do to actually make money in that situation. So now the other thing that we always talk about, and both of these things fall into the same category, and John nailed it. So for the first time, since you and I have been doing this, front doors off the list is number one, but it did come in at number two, and it's a lower dollar value replacement. So it's if it needs to be done, it's almost a no-brainer in those situations, and that's because average entry door replacement cost $2,400, and resale value recouped $6,000.
Ooh.
So that comes in, garage door was 250.7%, entry door 249.9%. Like I said, very, very close. But those blow everything else out of the water. The next best we're going to have is 203%. And there's some reasons for this. I mean, if you look at both of those items, I just lost my water bottle in the studio here. If you could hear that noise, so that's okay. Nothing spilt. We're a mess. You get rid of the video cameras, John. We got stuff all over the place in here. We don't know what to do. But both of those items we were talking about, the garage door and the entry door, are very important from a sales perspective. And one of the reasons they bring so much money is it's not rocket science here that we're dealing with, but those are the first two items in a home that the customer walks by when they come to see the house. And so we talk about landscape. When we're talking about landscaping, that's another show, but when we're talking about those improvements and that curb appeal, As far as the physical structure of the house, these are the two things that you're likely to walk by when you're coming to see the house for the first time. Mm-hmm. So if there's a bright, shiny, or a very stylish new garage door that you come by or you park your car in front of, you are naturally, eyes are drawn to that, and you say, oh, wow, that looks like that's in great shape. This house has been very well maintained. Mm-hmm. And then you walk to the front door and you have to stand there for an extra 2 or 3 minutes while the realtor tries to find the lockbox that the other realtor hid from them and didn't tell them where it was. So you're just kind of standing at the front door, and this gives you another extra couple of minutes to look around. And you look at this beautiful new front door. And once again, you say, I mean, your brain naturally says, I think I'm going to like this house. The people mm-hmm. have kept it very well maintained. If you can set the stage for that during a showing, it does not surprise me from a sales perspective that these things show up as number one and two on the remodeler report. And so that's a big one. And then two, just to finish off that theme, the third thing on the list is actually adding to the siding on the front of the house, changing some of the siding to be either a manufactured stone veneer or a brick or some extra decorative upgraded siding or maybe a special shiplap that's done in the front. If you make a change remodeling to that entrance and enhance the entrance, estimated job cost on that on the West Coast is $12,000.
Mm-hmm.
Resale value coming in at $23,900. So when you look at that, you're coming in basically at the 200% mark on that one. And so all of these things combined just paint a beautiful picture for the customer when they come up. So aesthetically, if you like that, and that's something you're wanting to do on your house and it brings you enjoyment, those are the best possible things you could do to the exterior. When we come back from the break on this remodeling report, we're going to go in the house and talk about the best things you can do to remodel inside your home.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been talking about, interest rates coming down, kind of spurring some activity here. And then we've been getting into the 2024 Remodelers Report. Before we do that, though, I do want to get a great pick three out here. We talked about inventory increasing, and we've got some great summer inventory. Pick number one in Pasco. I'm going to take you out to 4808 Hilltop Drive in Pasco. This is a 4-bedroom, 5-bath, 3,100 square foot home, updated kitchen, granite counters, stainless steel appliances, commercial fridge, main level rec room, has tons of space, wet bar for all your favorite drinks, convenient attached bathroom, and then outside, fully fenced backyard, expansive covered porch and open deck. And that's coming in at $600,000 for all of that square feet. So good property there in Pasco. Pick number two, 3509 West 42nd Avenue in Kennewick. This is a 4-bedroom, 3-bath, 3,151 square foot home. Canyon Lakes neighborhood, large rooms, formal living room. The kitchen has granite counters, spacious island, lots of cabinets for storage. Primary suite has a tray ceiling, large walk-in closet, jetted tub, separate shower. And this is one that is priced, needs a little elbow grease and priced where you normally couldn't get into Canyon Lakes for this. But that property, 4-bedroom, 3-bath, 3,151 square feet, coming in at $560 in Canyon Lakes. So that is a great, great property there. And then pick number three, I've labeled this one the I can't get rid of my kids listed. So listen to this. You've got that kid. You know that they came back from college. They stay there. They've overstayed their welcome. You're trying to get them out of the house.
Yes.
This is 303 Gage Boulevard, number 232. This is the On the Green condos at Meadow Springs. So not only are we getting rid of your kid, they're also getting into South Richland. Mm-hmm. It's a one-bed, one-bath condo, which is hard to find there. 704 square feet. The kitchen has plenty of functionality and style, modern appliances. The living room has a fireplace, creating just a very nice ambiance in there. And then listen to this. You live just moments away from the fairways to the golf course. You've got clubhouse facilities. Mm-hmm. You've also got a pool at this facility. And then that location is just killer there. And the price point, $210,000.
Wow.
So this is where you stick the kids for a year or two, mm-hmm. the older adult ones that you can't get rid of, charge them some rent, build up your investment portfolio, and then you have a rental condo when you finally get rid of them for good.
Yes.
So that is a great, great property. And then I would also say, maybe you have kids in high school that you don't think are going to leave. Mm-hmm. We could just help. The sooner you buy, the more equity you're going to have there. So that's my get rid of the kids investment condo for you, John, right there. So, folks, today we've been talking about remodeling. Where do I put my money to get the most bang for my buck back out of the house? And one of the questions I get is, well, why do we talk about remodeling, Lance, on the show? Like, and we've been talking about it a lot the last couple of years because there's a lot of people that have under 3% mortgages.
Yes.
They don't want to lose those. No. They don't want to ever give those up. Mm-hmm. And so when a lot of people would churn and burn, as I call it, or, you know, be in a house for 2 to 3 years and then move to another house, well, that worked great when interest rates were roughly the same. But now if somebody has a 2.8% rate, and they need an extra bedroom or they need an updated kitchen, they don't want to move to the house that has that because then they're going to lose their 2.8% mortgage and get a 6.375 or whatever it was this week, pretty close. Then their payment doubles and they're doing all of that for a little bit of a kitchen remodel.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. And so when we look at the finances of that, we see a lot of people utilizing some of this remodeling. But you are going to want to move someday. And so my suggestion always is to look at the economics of it, to say, it doesn't mean that much to you personally, where it's just a personal preference and you don't mind burning the money,
yeah,
you know, or not getting as much back out of it, then that's great. But if you do think you're going to sell in the next 5 to 7 years and you want to recoup some of that money, let's look at what some of that looks like when we go inside the house. Now, before the break, we talked about the top three exterior projects that you can do. Mm-hmm. And that was the garage door, the front door, and then some updated siding and stone on the front of the house. Those will bring you a massive return in that world. But now we got to go to where people spend a lot more of their time, and that's inside the house.
Yes.
And look at what some of those projects are. And the first one that always comes up that we get, and this is what, I mean, I'm with buyers all the time. I'm in these houses. They say this is what sells a house a lot of times, and they're just not wrong, and that's reflected in this remodel report. And that is the kitchen. I tell you what, if those exterior items are right, mm-hmm. and someone walks up to a house, I usually tell somebody in an entryway to a kitchen, I usually can tell within 5 or 6 steps of someone entering that house if they're going to buy that house or not. And usually it's because you go in the front door, you can see that kitchen, and then you can kind of gauge a buyer's reaction on that. And the same is true in the remodel report. When you look at this, now we're going to talk about some of the language of this report, but it gets a little bit interesting because they particularly label this a minor kitchen remodel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so when you look at minor kitchen remodel and you look at the cost of that, they're calling that on the West Coast job cost $28,140. So $28,140. Resale value on that, $37,700. So 134%. It tops the list on the interior, and for good reason. A lot of, I mean, people are cooking. Sometimes, you know, they're cooking three or four meals a day in there. They're entertaining around the kitchen. People are, you know, sitting in there and talking. I mean, it's a focal point of most houses when you look at that. Now, so you say to yourself, well, what do you mean by minor? And then we have to look at what those factors are. Well, when you're looking at resale like that, so minor in this case, especially for the kitchen, would be defined as you're not getting all new cabinets, but maybe you're resurfacing the cabinets or painting the cabinets, switching out the hardware for a modern hardware, and then maybe getting rid of like a Formica countertop and going to a hard surface. Like
or putting different doors on the cabinets.
Or putting different doors. Exactly. And then sprinkling in new appliances with that.
Mm-hmm.
So in that budget, that's roughly what we would get. And they consider that a minor. And you're going to recoup, you're going to make money on that. Now, what's interesting about this report, which I love about this report, is they factor that in with a major kitchen remodel.
Mm.
Okay. Now, I mean, these numbers start to get a little crazy from the remodeling world. But when you look at major kitchen remodel, they're coming in at average job cost, the way they define that, as $82,000. Now, mind you, the resale value, though, only $56,000. So, okay, so we're going backwards now, okay, because we're only going to recoup 67% of the investment.
Yeah.
What happens with a major kitchen remodel like that? You're over-improved for your comparables.
Okay.
And so when I say major, what I'm talking about in that situation is you've probably gone all new cabinets.
Yes.
You've probably gone to, you know, all self-closing drawers, all specialty pullouts. You've probably taken down a wall and, you know, and changed some things structurally. You've added a big island, an oversized island. You've done electrical. You've done high-end appliances. So what happens in that situation is the budget's out of control.
Yeah.
It is gorgeous. I will say that home, as long as it's priced accordingly with the comparables, will probably sell first or faster. But the reason you're not going to get all your money back is because a consumer's going to see three or four homes of roughly the same vintage, and they're going to have an average price that they're looking at in that block. And when they cut to yours, they're going to be like, they are going to be blown away. They're going to walk in and they're going to be like, whoa, this is the best we've ever seen. Let's make an offer. And the agent could say, okay, great. Well, all of the ones we have seen are roughly $425.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, they did an $80,000 kitchen remodel. And so this one's priced at $500. And you're going to be like, no. they're going to be, go show me $400,000 or $500,000 houses, you know? So they're going to say, look, I get it. It's not worth $425, but we're not going to pay $500. And so that's where you come on the resale side. You're not going to get all that money back.
Yeah.
Over-improved. So major kitchen remodel, if you do it, you're doing it for your own personal enjoyment.
Yes.
Not likely to get that money back. So minor kitchen remodel coming in very, very nice. And then as you can imagine, as we go down these categories, the next great one that comes up is a mid-range bathroom remodel. Okay. So pretty spendy by the terms of this study that was done, but doing a mid-range bathroom remodel, roughly
$27,000. Mm-hmm.
And resale value coming in at $26,290. So 95%. So that's almost dollar for dollar in that situation. You redo a bathroom in the house. If it's three bed, two bath, you redo one of the main bathrooms.
Okay.
You're likely dollar for dollar going to get that money back. Okay. Now, what I've seen happen before, and I've been in these houses, just for kicks, this study included an upscale bath remodel. Okay. Now, I don't know what these people are putting in these bathrooms, but do you want to guess the cost of what they call an upscale bath remodel?
$57,000.
Yeah. I would have been just like you. No, by the way this study was defined, and it does include California, so we all know what can happen there. $84,000 is what it's defined as, as the breaking point for upscale here. But listen to this, because no one needs that. No, I'm just kidding. Someone might think they do. But get this, you're only getting 50 back. Right,
so because you're losing 20.
Yeah, so here we are at, that's only 59%. And I tell you what, I've seen this before in the primary. There, I mean, I could drive you to the house today where you walked in and it's a seemingly normal house that I was expecting to see. This one just happened to be in Canyon Lakes. And then all of a sudden you go around the corner and you go into the primary and like there's the bedroom side and then you open the door of the bathroom and it's like a whole nother bedroom is so massive. Yeah. And then there's the largest shower I've ever seen. And you got like body sprays and I mean, you got tile everywhere. And then they've blown out one of the other bedrooms and made it this master closet with its own island. And it looked like a Gucci. I mean, it looked like a, what's the handbag store?
Yeah, Gucci.
Yeah, the Gucci. I mean, it was just, I was like, where am I right now? And so I knew immediately, you know, we weren't going to get all of that money back. And, and sure enough, that was the case for this particular property. And so I see this happen here locally in those situations. Now, I'm hoping that for that case, it was something that that person just really wanted. That was their lifestyle. That's what they wanted. But as the study shows, and I've experienced this in real life, you're not going to get those type of things back. And then I'm going to go back here and talk about another interior one just because of the weather that we've been having here. And that is an HVAC conversion. You know, or redoing your HVAC. So, if you have a middle to larger system, and it depends upon the type of system you get, but I can tell you it would be really easy to spend, and the averages that were done here in this study was $19,572. Now, you can get HVACs. I've seen bids in the last couple of weeks anywhere from, you know, anywhere from $10,000 on a smaller system to $16,000, you know, on a larger system, upgraded system. And so pretty realistic numbers here that are coming through the study from what I see. Resale value of that, just a little bit less than dollar for dollar.
Okay.
Okay. And that's coming in at $16,477. So you are going to get about 84% of that back.
Okay.
Now, if you're selling your house right now with all the heat we've been having, if you don't have this, you're not selling it. Or you're selling it for a massive, you know, discount. But the reason that people are surprised by that sometime, that it's less than dollar for dollar, because when you look at that, a consumer in many time, they know that a system is older. They're probably having a home inspection and they know the system's older. But when you go and look at that house from a consumer perspective, and you were there last week, and it was cold inside, like, and it was functioning. And if there's a 20-year-old system in that house, you know, it might be worth $450,000. Everything else looks the same. Let's just use the average sales price as an example. And it was cold. And then you leave, and the HVAC goes out, and the homeowner puts in a new HVAC system. And John, you come back for a second show. You don't know any of this has happened. And you come back as a consumer. You're like, you know, let's revisit that one that I liked. And you come back 2 weeks later and you walk into that house. If it's still cold inside, what do you think the house is worth now?
Well, it went up.
Yeah, but it's still cold.
Yeah.
So you don't really notice much. So not if they spent 20 grand, you're probably not going to pay 470 for that.
No.
And
because cold is cold. It was working.
And that's what happened. So from a seller's perspective, you've had to dump that money in to get the house to the same condition that you had, where a consumer might buy it and they might risk that that HVAC is going to work for 2 to 3 more years. You just don't know. So once again, the importance of having that home inspection, yes, buyers notice this and they do feel comfortable after the home inspections, but there are some items they don't pay dollar for dollar for. So
yes,
we're busy doing consults like this all the time. So if you're thinking about selling in the next, especially in the next, you know, 6 months to 2 years, and you're thinking about making a decision like this, please let us know. We love to talk to people about what goes into this, share these reports with them so they can look through it and make an informed decision so that you're getting the most dollars back when you go to sell. So, folks, that is the highlights of the 2024 Remodelers Report there. John, it was fun being in here.
Yeah.
And kind of old school, just you and I rocking this out on the radio.
Exactly.
And taking 1 week off the podcast. So John and I will be back to better dressed with our hair done for next week's show. And we will see you guys next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.